Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are continuing our journey through Exodus right now. Day 133 brings us to Exodus 36, which is going to get into some detail about the curtains of the tabernacle. And I am going to share with you an illustration today after the scripture reading to try to help orient us to what's going on with this tabernacle and with its significance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and how it wonderfully displays your truth to us in various forms. We pray that you would help us to understand the meaning of the tabernacle and the significance for our lives as it points us to Christ and then points us to salvation, then points us to our part in your church. And so, Father, speak to us today, we pray. Write your word on our hearts by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 36. Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work, and they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him free will offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. And all the craftsmen among the workmen made the tabernacle with 10 curtains. They were made of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet yarns with cherubim skillfully worked. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits, and all the curtains were of the same size. He coupled 5 curtains to one another, and the outer 5 curtains he coupled to one another. He made loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain of the first set. Likewise, he made them on the edge of the outermost curtain of the second set. He made 50 loops on the one curtain, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that was in the second set. The loops were opposite one another. And he made 50 clasps of gold and coupled the curtains one to the other with clasps. So the tabernacle was a single whole. He also made curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains. The length of each was 30 cubits and the breadth of each 4 cubits. The 11 curtains were the same size. He coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the outermost curtain of the one set and 50 loops on the edge of the other connecting curtain, and he made 50 clasps of bronze to couple the tent together that it might be a single whole. And he made for the tent a covering of tanned ram's skin and goat's skins. Then he made the upright frames for the tabernacle of acacia wood. 10 cubits was the length of a frame, and a cubit and a half the breadth of each frame. Each frame had 2 tenons for fitting together. He did this for all the frames of the tabernacle. The frames for the tabernacle he made thus: 20 frames for the south side, and he made 40 bases of silver under the 20 frames, 2 bases under one frame for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under the next frame for its 2 tenons. For the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, he made 20 frames, and there 40 bases of silver, 2 bases under one frame and 2 bases under the next frame. For the rear of the tabernacle, westward, he made 6 frames. He made 2 frames for corners of the tabernacle in the rear. And they were separate beneath, but joined at the top at the first ring. He made 2 of them this way for the 2 corners. There were 8 frames with their bases of silver, 16 bases under every frame, 2 bases. He made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames on the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames of the tabernacle at the rear westward. And he made the middle bar to run from end to end, halfway up the frames, and he overlaid the frames with gold, and made their rings of gold for holders for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. He made the veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, with cherubim skillfully worked into it he made it. And for it he made 4 pillars of acacia and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast for them 4 bases of silver. He also made a screen for the entrance of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen embroidered with needlework, and its 5 pillars with their hooks. He overlaid their capitals, and their fillets were of gold, but their 5 bases were of bronze. So you have the tabernacle is the tent in the middle. It's the holy place. It's the worship place. Within it, there's a veil that separates the holy from the most holy. And then there's a screen for getting into it in the first place. And then over top, there's a covering and the tent and a covering of different materials. So we're going to take a look at this. We use ESV.org from Crossway for our on-screen text display. And if you have an account with Crossway, you can log in and you can get access to all of their study materials. And so this is from the ESV Study Bible that we're going to take a look at here. And I'm going to bring it into view a little bit better because we want to be able to see it. So I'm actually going to move this off. Let's do this. You know what? All right. That's probably good enough for being able to see what we need to see. So the tabernacle is the tent in the middle. That's the holy place. And then there's a courtyard around the tabernacle. And so if we zoom in a little bit on the tabernacle itself, you can see that there are layers of covering over top of the tabernacle. And you can see the screen at the entrance of the tabernacle, as well as the veil. And the veil is what has the skillfully woven cherubim. Cherubim skillfully woven into it. Right? And so inside, if we zoom in a little bit more, you can see that there are pillars and bases all around, which provides a very sturdy frame. You didn't want this flapping in the breeze, okay? You want it to be solid. You want it to be stable, okay? And they tell you the holy place of the tabernacle was about 30 feet long and about 15 feet wide. So it's a cubit is about 1.5 feet. So when it says 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide, it's about 30 feet long and about 15 feet wide. It may be closer to 20 inches or 21 inches than actually the 18 inches. That would be 1.5 feet, but nobody knows for sure. So we're using our best guess. Technically, where the concept of cubit comes from in the Egyptian world is that a cubit is the length of the ruler's arm from elbow to fingertip. And so, you know, it's about 1.5 feet for most people. Mine would be a lot longer because I'm, you know, a big person. So this is what we see here is it's 20 cubits long or 30 feet long, and it's 10 cubits wide or 15 feet wide. And then it's got the most holy place on the inside is 15 feet cube. So it's the same width as the whole thing, but it's also the same depth as that. So you have an extra number of feet outside. So you've got in here the altar of incense and the table of showbread and the lampstand and all of that. And then inside you've got the Ark of the Covenant and all of that in there. So this is, you know, when you came in, you'd have the altar, the bronze altar, where you would offer sacrifices, and then the basin for washing, and then you would go into the holy place. If you were a priest, you could go in through this, but you couldn't go past this second veil unless you were the high priest, and then only on the Day of Atonement. Anyway, so I hope this, seeing this, may be a little bit helpful to you. So you see the explanation that there's a veil that's really a screen separating the holy place, and then there's a second veil in the most holy place. So there's a lot of detail in these chapters, but the detail is wonderful, because God is communicating to us so much about the gospel through this tabernacle. Shows us so much about Christ and what he does for us, as he's the sacrifice and he's our cleansing and he's our access to God, and he is the blood of atonement that goes over the mercy seat, and he is the bread of life, and he is the light of the world, and our prayers are our incense that lift up before the throne of God. So every aspect of this tabernacle gives us wonderful insight into who God is and how we approach him and what Christ has done for us. But I know that when you're reading through a chapter like Exodus 36, it can be difficult, because you can get caught up in all of the detail. But the big picture is an incredibly encouraging picture of how God is showing us what Christ is doing for us and what we as the church are called to be. The tabernacle was in the center of God's people, just as God dwells in the midst of his people today. And it was the place where God met with his people through the priests, through their intercession, through the sacrifices. And so it had to be made very carefully and very skillfully. And it also had to last for generation upon generation upon generation. That's part of the reason why there's so many coverings over the tabernacle itself, is to provide the curtain that would be seen on the inside, and then a covering for that, and then a covering for that that's even bigger. So it just shows us the attention to detail, the care that God puts into this, as well as the picture that God is showing his people through a beautiful thing. God cares not only about truth and goodness, but he also cares about beauty. And through the beauty of this tabernacle, he's showing his people a picture of the gospel and a picture of the work of Christ. So anyway, I don't know if that was helpful to see that picture, or if it was just distracting, but I felt like with all this language we have about the tabernacle, maybe it was helpful to look at a picture and to get a little bit of a lay of the land. Let's pray. We'll be coming back to the tabernacle in future days, but tomorrow we're going to Romans chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for your love for us, for this chapter, for this tabernacle. Please help us to be worshipful and thankful for Christ, who is the fulfillment of the tabernacle, and for your church, which is where you dwell in the midst of your people today through Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, that was day 133. Tomorrow, day 134, will take us to Romans chapter 5. Hope you can be with us then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.